Greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 128, coming to you from the Pinery Watchdog Studios, downtown Wheeling. Hopefully you're enjoying your approach to the weekend here as the week is winding down. It's another busy week in the books, baseball in full swing. You got soccer action going on right now. Calming ourselves down from the Masters, but back into the RBC Heritage, which is a pretty good select field event this weekend. And, of course, you have some racing, and it's Easter. So, happy Easter to everybody out there. Thanks for joining us here on the Watchdog Network and the Pine Room Studios. Hopefully, you're following along with us week in and week out as we continue to put together some positive ROIs each and every week here on Better's Last Stand. No, I guess say every week. So, we have had losing weeks, and there's no doubt about it. We will have losing weeks, and it's going to happen. So, depending on what sports you're choosing to play with us, maybe you're having a really, really, really hot run of action. Because if you're sticking with your AFL and your soccer, it's hard to say that we haven't been doing really good over the last few months, actually, really since Christmas time in 2024. We've been on a massive tear in soccer, continuing on another good week for us this past week. And then AFL started out outstanding. In fact, I think at one point this weekend, we were, if you followed our picks on BLS underscore PRP, which I put up on Wednesday, because a lot of times the AFL schedule will start on Thursday. It's very similar to the NFL because it's Thursday night. You don't usually have Friday NFL, but sometimes you do. But Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then even occasionally Monday Night Football. So you got lots of action in the AFL starting on Thursday morning. So tail us on those. We've been doing pretty good. As soon as people start jumping on the wagon, though, maybe we'll start to sputter. But I hope not. We were 10-0 actually to start the weekend card off in AFL last weekend, which is really, really good. So we were off to a really good 10-0 start. Finished the week 12-5. Nothing wrong with that. We were up 19 units overall, and in the graded wagers, and a lot of that accounts for I resulted all of our hockey bets. Our hockey futures, which weren't very good. We were minus about 240 ROI, 10-16. We did have a couple of decent priced ticket winners. I think Vegas Golden Knights to win the division was a nice one. It was close to $4. So that made up for a little bit of the down tick there with the 10-16. A lot of our goal scorers, we were actually decent in the goal scoring. The points, not so much. We had some doggish teams. The Penguins, one of those teams. Very poor season by them. Very poor season by the Sabres, among some other Nashville Predators. Maybe the worst performance of any team in the NHL for what they did in the offseason. Just stunning how bad they were. So we didn't get there with them, but we did get there. We cashed tickets with the Anaheim Ducks, and I can't remember all the other ones, but they are available. BLS underscore PRP. We put those up months ago back in October, and I went through and resulted them. We went 10-16, but again, only a negative 240 ROI, so down about 2.4 units. It's not good. It wasn't good. I'm not going to sit here and say it was good. We did have a couple good opinions on some goal scoring, though. We did pretty well on those. But other than that, it was not pretty. So we're going to try to turn that around here with the NHL playoffs getting ready to crank up this weekend. Regular season has depending on when you're listening to this, it either ended last night or it's, ended 2 days ago. So nonetheless, it's winding down. It's getting down to excitement time. One thing that was exciting, at least for most people, I honestly didn't enjoy the Masters much at all. Maybe if I would have cashed a ticket on Justin Rose that we had here on Better's Last Stand, as Bayern Munich and Harry Kane have just tied Inter Milan 2-2 on aggregate here. So a very big goal there in Milan as Bayern Munich in the second leg of the Champions League quarterfinals now knotted up at 2-2. So it could be staring some extra time in the face here, but there's still plenty of time left. It's very early in the first half. The other match is Arsenal and Real Madrid. But back to it, 19 units to the good last week, 19.75 overall in our graded wagers. Again, that factors in the graded hockey bets that we had. We actually would have been even better if we had not factored those in there, but that's the way it goes. Golf, again, everybody's enamored by this Masters. I thought it was just a bunch of guys that didn't play very good, to be quite honest with you. I like it when guys struggle, but by the mark under par that the winners are at, you know, when you're getting up to 12, 13, 14, you know, 11 and under, whatever. I think, what was it, 12 that they won at 12 or 11. But that's not incredibly hard. Like, I want, if the guys are going to really suck it up, I want it to be like plus one, even par. That's why I like the U.S. Open. I'm very partial to that. And then when the winds kick up and the weather is bad at the Open Championship over in Great Britain, I enjoy that as well because That's really a test. This Masters course, the Augusta, okay, it looks pretty on TV. Everybody loves to go buy all the merchandise and tell everybody that you're going to it and all this stuff. And that's fine. If you enjoy it, fine. But that would not be anywhere near the top of a list of mine of things to do to go to that event. Yeah, I would definitely, if I was down there, I'd like to check the course out, just walk through it just because it's neat looking. But other than that, it doesn't do much for me. The course is way too easy. These guys just smash the ball. They're in positions to eagle all the time. And I thought the scoring was awful. I thought guys had chances to make eagles and birdies and all kind of really low scores on Sunday, and they just didn't do it. I thought Ludwig Auber had as much of a chance to win as anybody. And you see Rory McIlroy, and he comes out and he doubles, and then he chokes at the end. He has nothing, you know, he hits it into Ray's crease. Like he just outlasted everybody else to collapse, basically. Justin Rose misses an 8-footer. He never does that. That's one thing about him, is if he hits it straight, his putting is usually just rock solid. And he misses that one. It turns out it cost him the tournament. You didn't know it at the time, but that short little 8-footer, I think it might have been 17, because I think he birdied 18, but he that cost him the tournament. And it's got a putt that I bet you that guy makes 9 out of 10 times. And anyway, the course to me is boring. The event to me is boring. I have no use for it. But then again, like I say, I'll be fully transparent. If I'd have hit a 90-1 on Justin Rose, where I saw he was as high as 110 at some spots, I probably would have felt a little bit different about it. But we were right there again. Another second place in golf. It's very frustrating. We didn't do too bad, though. We had Rose second, DeChambeau, Auber. DeChambeau, though, fell apart. Ludwig Auber and Xander Schauffele, who's a little bit of an unexpected top 10. I like the way his game's starting to come together. He could be a use here later in the summertime for sure. But those were all top 10s for us. Golf wasn't bad. It wasn't great. Definitely could have turned out a lot better had Rosie been able to beat Rory McIlroy, who I said on the show, I admit it, I said he would never win a major again, and really not even certain that he won the major. I'm more than the other guys just gave it to him. Just to me, that guy's just an absolute hack choke, and the more pressure you put on him, the worse he'll respond, and he probably would have about one major if he played his entire career against good players. He went in that perfect lull. He had the after Tiger wave, where Tiger was hurt and Tiger was not on the tour, and he won a bunch of events against a bunch of garbage, and now everybody treats him as if he's one of the better players ever. He's not. He's just not. You see, if you ever saw Tiger Woods do what that guy just did out there, what he did at the U.S. Open, you're never going to see that. You never saw Jack Nicklaus. You're not going to see that. All-time great players don't do that. They don't choke it up that bad. I know people would say Greg Norman did that here and there. Okay, that's fair. But he also had other guys make exceptional shots. Some of the ways Greg Norman lost majors were ridiculously difficult shots made by his competitors. So that was not the case there with Rory or you know, in his classic chokes. But not a fan. I won't be betting him anytime soon. I think that's the end for him. He completed his stupid Grand Slam, and now he'll continue to be a fade at all costs for us here on Better's Last Stand. So if you cash a ticket with McIlroy, congratulations. You're a lot smarter than I am, but paying the price for a low price ticket on that bum, I don't know. I don't understand it. Not a fan in any capacity of that guy. But AFL, I am a fan of. 12-5, as I said, we had a good week there. We were 11-4-2 in the English Premier League soccer. 3-1 in our Champions League plays, and we were 3-1 in NCAA hockey. Racing was not so pretty. At least early in the day, it wasn't pretty. And then midday, it wasn't pretty. But the later the day went, the better it got. So 0-3 in Formula 1. Oscar Piastri gets the job done there. 0-6 in NASCAR. We were dreadful in NASCAR. Absolutely terrible. Right now, I would say I am either overthinking this NASCAR, or I guess my temptation to take prices instead of taking a shorter price and just living with it because I think the guy's going to win is really burning me. Last year, you know, you had some upsets. Well, you had some this year too. Josh Berry, Hochevar should have won a race earlier in the year that Chris Bell won. So you had some of those big prices knocking on the door and actually getting the job done. But man, the favorites in the lower price guys are really coming through as Kyle Larson gets the job done again. 0-6 in NASCAR as far as we went there with our bets. But in IndyCar, the final race to start for the day was a 4:30 start there. Long Beach Grand Prix, Kyle Kirkwood comes through for us at 8-1. We also had a top three and a goal right back by Inter Milan. Wow, what an answer. It looks like Lautaro Martinez, the Argentinian, getting the job done there. 1-1 now and a 3-2 aggregate lead for Inter Milan. Real Madrid and Arsenal remain scoreless. But back to the business at hand. IndyCar, we got a job, get the job done with Kyle Kirkwood at 8-1. Hockey futures, as I said, 10-16, minus 240 ROI. Hockey playoffs not quite set yet, so I can't actually give you what the prices are on these because we don't really know how they're going to come out of this. I'm imagining a lot of the players are going to rest. The field is pretty much set right now. It's going to be the Vegas Golden Knights against the Minnesota Wild, the LA Kings and the Edmonton Oilers, with the Kings having home ice. VGK has home ice. Winnipeg will be home ice against St. Louis, and Dallas will be on home ice against Colorado. In the Eastern Conference, Toronto, the home ice advantage against Ottawa, Tampa, and Florida, and what could be a really good battle, Washington and Montreal and Carolina and New Jersey. So my opinions of these, again, I don't have prices. So as soon as these are priced in the next couple of days, BLS underscore PRP will have them up for the weekend because I really do have some opinions here. I'm on the Vegas Golden Knights to win the Western Conference. They've been a pick of mine for a few weeks now, or actually may even be a month or two. If you listen to the show, you know that I was high on Vegas. So I'm sticking with it. I like that first-round matchup. Minnesota, a decent team, but they just don't have the firepower to hang with VGK. So I like the Golden Knights there. And I'll probably be, depending on how this is priced, I'm probably going to be taking Vegas to win this series in a little bit of a shorter amount of time. I would say if you can find like an under 6.5 or under 5.5 games, I think that that would be in play, at least in my opinion. I think it's a series that Vegas probably wins at the very worst 4-2. But I could see this being a very quick series, a 4-1 type easy closeout type of series. But who knows? I mean, you can speculate on a lot of this, and if, you know, goalie doesn't play well or whatever, and, you know, things can change. But Vegas Golden Knights right now, 10-1 to win the cup. I'm not saying they're great by any means, but to me, up and down the lineup, they have very good defense pairings and very good lines as far as depth goes, where I can't say the same about. Dallas is the favorite still at 7-1. Florida falls at 8-1. Colorado at 8-1. Colorado's depth, a tad bit of a concern, but they do have two of the greatest players in the world. So that helps out anytime when you got McCarr and McKinnon. But I like Colorado in the first round. I love them against Dallas. I think that's Colorado's probably going to open a little bit of a plus price there because Dallas is getting all the love right now. They're 7-1 to win the cup. I am fading Dallas badly. Dallas blew that massive lead a couple of weeks ago in a total collapse, and they really went on a bad losing streak after that. I think Dallas is dressed up in fake, and I don't buy them at all. Ottinger is not a primetime performer, and I think he will falter again. The Panthers, to me, have played too much hockey. They are beat up. I'm going to be looking to take the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I really do think Tampa Bay could have a shot to get to the Stanley Cup final again. I think they look a little bit rejuvenated. They played very well the other night when I watched them. You got to like it. I think they're a team trending in the right direction. Vasilevskiy looks very dialed in. You got Jake Guentzel now. He's a big-time player. I mean, he produced for the Penguins time after time in the playoffs. I think he can do it again in another goal by Inter Milan. Two quick ones, and Milan is rocking right now as they now take the lead and now up 4-2 on aggregate after Bayern Munich drew first blood. Jeez, what a match that is. But back to the hockey, I do like Vegas in the series against Minnesota. We'll see what that's priced. I like the Kings against the Oilers. They smashed the Oilers the other night 5-0. They have home ice advantage. I know it's hard to dismiss the team that's as talented as Edmonton, but people were touting them. And they were short as, we had them in under total. That was one of the few hockey bets we did. One of our 10 winners was Edmonton under, and it stayed under by a lot. Their point total was like 110 or 111. It's outrageous. They were picked, you know, the tip to be the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. It's just ridiculous. South of 4-1. I mean, come on. I mean, I know McDavid's good, but my goodness, he's kind of a loser. I mean, he hasn't done anything in his career, so other than score that gift goal against the United States, but he has not. He almost pulled it off last year. I'll give him credit for battling against Florida, but I think Edmonton's on the decline, and I would not be playing them at 9-1. There's no chance. So I will be going with the Vegas or the Los Angeles Kings against the Oilers in the first round. And I really like the St. Louis Blues here. St. Louis Blues have a favorable matchup to me against the Winnipeg Jets. The Winnipeg Jets, Connor Hellebuck has not performed well in these playoff series. So you're going to get a nice plus price on St. Louis. That's going to be a series I'm going to be looking to play some, maybe plus 1.5, even if the game, if it would go to a game 7, I'll play the plus 1.5 games and probably maybe even get that at a plus price. Blues as hot as anybody in the last month of the season. Colorado, as I said, I like them against Dallas. I think they're starting to get a little bit healthier right now. They got Landeskog back, and they're feeling pretty good entering the playoffs. As I said, Dallas hits the skids about 2 weeks ago, and they have not recovered from it. So I'll be on Colorado, St. Louis, the Kings, and the Golden Knights in the Western Conference in the first round. Again, I'll have all these posted, my final bets, if I'm going to pick any series scoring leaders or overs and unders and series handicaps, I will have those there. Toronto and Ottawa. This is an interesting series to me. They're obviously a rivalry, massive rivalry. Ottawa hasn't been around in the playoffs a whole lot lately, but they're a good young team. If they get Brady Tkachuk back, I think they're going to be a pain to Toronto. A lot of people tip Toronto to make it deep here, but I still think they have goaltending woes. I still think they have defense woes. I still think they have a little bit of depth woes. And I will say, Austin Matthews, he really hasn't played all that well this year. Their team success has been good, but he has not been as elite. He looks like, I don't know, you always hate to speculate because everybody just says, well, he's had a bad year. He must be hurt. He must be hurt. Well, I don't know if he's hurt or not, but he's just not, he's not sharp right now, and we'll see if he can get the focus back. I think that's a long series. I can see Ottawa being a major thorn in Toronto's side, especially if they're able to take one of those first two games in Toronto. I think Ottawa then comes back to a rocking building, and I think they'll win at least one of those games and push that series on. So I'll be looking to get that one over to at least six games, I think, between Ottawa and Toronto. As far as picking it, I probably would say Toronto ends up just being a little bit better, but that's no guarantee. In a rivalry series, anything could happen. Tampa and Florida, going to be on Tampa. Nothing against Florida here, but they are just old and beat up. I'm going to say old, but weathered, I guess, is the way to say it. They've just played so much hockey the last 3 years. I don't know if they can recover. You saw Penguins hit walls like this. All these teams that had good runs, Tampa Bay did the same thing, and you better believe they're rejuvenated after a couple of summers, shorter summers. Or longer summers, I guess. Shorter season, longer summer. They look a little more rejuvenated now, and I think some of the additions that they brought back, some guys that were on those cup teams to kind of stabilize their depth, and it's worked out well. So I like Tampa to beat Florida. I could even see that being a 4-2. It could be a pretty, I wouldn't say quick series, but maybe even a 4-1. Tampa just has a little bit more bounce in their step right now. Washington, Montreal. I think Montreal is a good young team, and I do think that they'll win a game in Washington, and I think that they'll absolutely win a game in Montreal. So I think this goes at least six games. I do. I think it's an even series. I think Washington, though, just a little bit better. They're going to be, I would imagine, a little bit more experienced, obviously, with Ovi and you know, some of the guys that have been around there for the Caps. So I think Washington in a tight series against Montreal, and then Carolina, New Jersey is a series that really just bores me to death. No Jack Hughes for Jersey. I don't think they have much of a chance. Carolina's just plays, I don't know. I don't enjoy watching them play. It's just a muck it up, grind it, fire pucks from everywhere, and just crash the net, and just, I don't know. Carolina's, to me, is in a do-or-die situation. They either have to go deep here, or they're going to have to make a change, because they don't seem to ever catch fire in the playoffs. And yeah, they're a tough team to play against, but if you can figure them out and you're disciplined against them, you can neutralize them in a playoff series. So I don't think New Jersey's capable of that, so I think Carolina probably wins this series, but I don't have a strong opinion on that one. So in the East, we're going to go with Toronto and Ottawa to go at least, we're going to say six games there. We're going to say Washington and Montreal to go six games, and then Tampa to beat Florida. Carolina, New Jersey, I'm going to probably play that one under 6.5 games, and Carolina will probably beat them a little quicker than some of the other series. So that is the NHL. That's a quick look at that. Heading into the playoffs, again, the series aren't set yet. Regular season's still going, or just ended. So once we get them priced, once we see how they look, I will have those picks at BLS_PRP. Rolling along here, Better's Last Day of Show number 128 here on the Watchdog Network. Getting you ready for another exciting weekend of sporting action. Hopefully, you've been capitalizing on some of the winners that we've been giving out here on the show over the past few weeks. NBA playoffs, I don't talk a lot about that, but those are set. The play-in games went on this week, and you have most of the series set to this point of recording the show. You got the Indiana Pacers, the Milwaukee Bucks, with the Pacers having home court. Bucks plus 160 in this series. Indiana minus 195. Now, I think they're saying Damian Lillard will not play for Milwaukee, but I would take a puncher's chance with Milwaukee at plus 160. I think They can't be dismissed. I think Milwaukee maybe has enough toughness. Giannis can kind of carry them. I do like the Pacers, but I don't know if they're tough enough to be able to win this. So I think that one could be one. If you don't like a side, maybe play that one over the total to get to at least six games. That may have seven games written all over it. Clippers minus 110. Dead even series against Denver, also minus 110. A lot of people picking the Clippers. People were picking the Clippers to go very, very deep. But one thing I've learned about James Harden, just when you think that everything's fine, and just when you think Kawhi Leonard's healthy, then it all comes crashing down. So I would lead Denver. They have the best player in the world in Jokic, and I will lean with Denver at the minus 110. New York minus $4 against the Detroit Pistons, who are plus $3. I've heard people say this will be a long series. I'm not certain about it. Again, I don't watch this stuff hardly at all. It's impossible to watch, really, really hard to watch. But I think the Knicks probably win this series. I'm not sure how quick it'll be. Lakers minus 195 against Minnesota. Minnesota plus 160. Great year last year for Minnesota. Can they refine their fire? Possibly. Plus 160. It'd be worth taking a chance against the Lakers. I just don't trust LeBron. He's old. His defense is not very good anymore. And yeah, he's due to crash and burn. So let's hope Minnesota wins, but no opinion on that one. Celtics minus 5,000 against Orlando, $16 on Orlando. Orlando wins the play-in, and they get the right to play Boston, who will probably decide to turn it on here and smash through the Eastern Conference. The Cavs are going to be the one seed. We don't know who they're playing yet. So that, a question mark. And then Golden State and Houston. Now, this is an interesting one here. So Golden State, I didn't realize this. Golden State Warriors are the only the second number seven seed to be favored in a playoff series since 1988 over a two seed in the first round. How about that? Since 1988, a seven was not favored over a two. I don't know who that seven would have been, but they are minus $2 against the Houston Rockets. So plus 165 on the Rockets. They've been a nice, pleasant surprise. And I can't say that I wouldn't take the Rockets. I don't know how good Golden State is, although Jimmy Butler played very well in the play-in game. So maybe they've turn the corner and they're starting to trend upward. But that's the NBA playoffs. Enough about that. On one thing about the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are the number one seed in the Western Conference, Cavs number one in the Eastern Conference. We don't know who those teams are going to play yet. OKC, though, exceptional against the spread. They've been one of the best covered teams in basketball basically since their existence. 55-23-4, best mark in 35 years for a team against the spread in the NBA. Let's jump over to Major League Baseball. Not a whole lot to report here. It's the same old story with the same old teams. Who's good and who isn't? I will say a couple of the bets that we made, and I mentioned them last week too, I feel very, very good about. A couple other ones maybe not as good. Boston Red Sox, they gotta get stabilized here. I still think they're a good team, but their offense may be starting to come. I don't know. They've really struggled in the cold weather, so keep an eye on that. The cold weather was not good to them, and that is not a good sign. If you're in Boston in October, it's going to be cold. So a interesting area to keep an eye on there. I would be a little bit worried about that. But nonetheless, there's a long way to go here. And we have a team in the San Francisco Giants who I've watched a few times, and I knew they were going to be pretty good. I liked their team on paper, and they are pretty good. And I think the Giants are going to be a playoff team. We already bet that a while ago. So I think the Giants, Padres, and Diamondbacks all with a shot to make the playoffs behind the Dodgers in the NL West. So keep an eye on them. Braves still struggling a little bit. Mets just, I don't know. They played really good late last year, so maybe they'll turn it around. No doubt about it. And Arsenal now scores on Real Madrid in a really baffling turn of events at Real Madrid, who is the defending Champions League winners and have won, I don't know if it was two in a row, or at least two of three. Now, four goals down in aggregate, and they are just about out of time. Just a big collapse by them. Cubs 11-1. Just not a buyer in the Cubs. Seen them play. They're in a really bad division. That will help them, but they are not very good at all. I will be a Cub fader all year. Philadelphia Phillies, they've come out of the gate pretty good, so maybe I'm a little wrong on them. I thought they would start to show some decline, but they have not yet. In the American League, I cannot believe that the Yankees are the favorites at 4-1. That is really stunning to me. It's also almost as stunning as the Astros being a plus 650 second choice along with the Rangers. This American League is wide open. If there was somebody that came out and made me, I don't even care about the trade deadline. I'm talking about like right now. If you would make a move, one or two moves here for some team to get an arm and maybe one more bat, I know there's not going to be a whole lot of sellers at this point, but maybe a guy with an expiring contract. you could really, really take this over. You got the Yankees at 4-1, Texas 6.5-1, Houston 6.5-1. The Tigers, your fourth choice at 8-1. 8.5-1 on the Red Sox, 9.5-1 on the Orioles, who are a mess. They either score 0 or 15. Seattle can't hit at all, 11-1. Kansas City, 13-1, and they can barely hit. They're a team that's like a piece and a half away from being a pennant contender. The Minnesota Twins are just 14-1. They should be like 700-1. I'm not sure that I would bet the Minnesota Twins at 700-1 to win the American League. It may be 1,000-1. They absolutely stink. I don't burn your money on the Twins. Do not get burned by them, as Vinicius Jr. just gives Real Madrid a little bit of hope as he takes advantage of a terrible mishap by Arsenal with the back. It's now 1-1. But 14-1 on the Minnesota Twins is just ridiculous. Cleveland 16-1. And then you drop down to the Rays. And the Blue Jays right now may be the best team in the American League. 20-1. They've been pitching great. They can hit a little bit. They're not far off. Their bullpen's been good, too. I don't know if it'll hold up. I know it's a little early but to make judgments, but New York Yankees are not that good at all. Like, watch them every night and tell me they're a dangerous team. No. Boston, to me, has the best lineup for sure. Baltimore, for whatever reason, I don't know how it is, if it's just a Derek Shelton disorder for manager Brandon Hyde, where he's playing all these guys at all these places and the order's never the same, and but their pitching is so bad. Baltimore, I told you at the beginning of the year, they're not going to be able to win anything because they don't have any pitching. Charlie Morton's 0-4. So you got some very bad situations here. I think Kansas City will end up picking it up 13-1, but they got to add something. They got good pitching, decent bullpen, but their lineup needs more pop. It can't just be Bobby Witt and a couple other young guys. They got to get more. So, like I say, early Seattle, same things plague them, can't hit. Cleveland, same things plague them, can't hit. Tampa Bay, no, they're nothing. And then in the National League, you got lots of teams that can win the World Series. The Dodgers, the Phillies, the Braves, if they ever get it together. I dismiss the Cubs. Padres, yes. Diamondbacks, yes. Giants, yes. And then you drop down to the Reds, 55-1. They need a couple pieces. But the Reds, the Nationals, these teams battling. I told you they would battle. They will. And the Pirates, they're way, way, way down at the bottom. I'm not sure there's a worse team all the way around than the Pirates. Fundamentally, defensively, hitting, their lineup probably the worst in the league. And it's not filled with like young talent like some of these teams. Like even the Marlins have young players who are actually decent. The A's, like the Pirates have nothing. They have nothing other than Paul Skeens. They are a laughing stock and a disgrace to baseball. So we'll pick up the baseball talk here as the weeks go on, but I'm feeling all right about our bets. Let's go over to golf. Terrible loss last week with Rory McIlroy winning against Justin Rose. We had a 90-1 ticket on him. But a couple of top 10s with DeChambeau, Auberg, Xander, and Rosie kept us above water. This week, it's the RBC Heritage at Harbor Town. That's in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And you have a field with some good players. I mean, you got Scheffler in here. Scotty Scheffler looking to get it back going. Ludwig Auber as well. He's about 12-1. Scheffler around 3 or 4-1. And Bayern Munich evening it up. So that game going over the total. I was not expecting that at all. I thought with a one goal between them that it would be a tightly played game. That did not occur. So we shall see what shakes out here in the last few minutes. Back to it, though. I looked at a couple of guys that I think that are starting to round into form as my top plays here. And I'm going to start with Justin Thomas. I like what he's been doing. He's been slowly, you know, coming upward and getting ready for this big stretch run in the summer. So I like the way his game's starting to round into form. So around 20-1, I'm going to take a shot with Justin Thomas to get himself back into it. Now, Xander Schauffele played really, really well last week. And I think he's a guy that I didn't initially have added on my card, but I think I'm going to add him. His game is starting to come back, and Xander Schauffele, one of the best in the world when he is on. So we're going to go with Xander, and then Patrick Cantlay, also a guy who has not been in great form, but he's starting to improve a little bit. So Patrick Cantlay around 18-19-1, we'll take a shot with him. Also, like Bud Colley, we're going to go back to the well with Russell Henley and Sepp Straka, two guys that missed the cut for us last week in disappointing fashion at the Masters. But Sepp is 40-1, Henley is 24-1, Bud Colley is 72-1. Thigala, who's very talented, but he's been really just bad run of form for him. Gonna probably take a shot with him because his price is around 75-80-1. And then I've heard people tip this guy, and I don't know if I'm gonna add him to my card or not. I'm very on the fence about playing him. I really don't like playing him ever. Is Jordan Spieth. I just don't think he can win this. He's coming back a little bit to form, but not enough for me. And then lastly, it'll be Daniel Berger. I keep riding him each and every week. His game's still pretty solid. He's at 45-1, and he is going to break through here at some point. And I want to be on him because it would be a shame to play him like 10 weeks in a row and not cash the ticket when he finally does win. We'll hopefully be at Harbortown this week. All right, let's I don't have anything prepared for the UFL this week because I didn't get to write the games down. But it was a little bit more over action this week. So you had 3 out of 4 of the games went over the total. And this week you got the Michigan Panthers and the Memphis Showboats on Friday. It'll be Memphis catching 8.5. The 38.5 is the total. St. Louis is at Arlington. St. Louis, a 1.5-point favorite. I would lean St. Louis in that one. Total 39.5. And then you got Birmingham and Houston on Saturday. And that will be Birmingham 7.5 on the road. The total 36.5. And then San Antonio at D.C. D.C. 7.5, 37.5. D.C. pretty good. I like what I see out of St. Louis as well. So I'm probably going to go back to the unders, but I want to see how these move because last week there was some early money on a couple of the overs there, and it ended up being the way to go. So I'm going to see if maybe that shows up again, and I'll post any plays that I have at BLS_PRP. All right, a couple of things going on. Bad beat world. Well, if you had any of those guys who choked it away down the stretch at the Masters, you're probably feeling like you had a bad beat. I kind of feel bad because Justin Rose battled his way there, but couldn't get the job done, and, whatever. That's the way it goes. But baseball, some agonizing defeats. I mean, there was a game last week. I don't know if I told this on here last week or not, but it was an awful beat. So I had the Houston Astros money line, plus price money line, about plus 115 against Seattle last week, middle of last week. It might have been on the day I taped the show last week, so maybe I didn't get to mention it. So it's 5-0 Astros in the I think it's the eighth inning. Pretty sure it's the eighth inning. Maybe it was the seventh. Nonetheless, Randy Arozarena up 2 outs. He hits a laser down the line, and I'm talking like, boom, like really close to being fair. It goes foul. And I'm like, oh, man, I dodged a bullet there. Whew, that would have been bad news. I don't want to have to deal with this. Josh Hader, who pitched 2 innings the day before. I guess you're not allowed to pitch. If you pitch 2 innings the day before, you're not available the next day. Well, okay, so the next pitch, Arozarena hits a grand slam. So never in my life had I wanted a double down the line that would score at least 2, maybe 3 runs to be a fair ball when they have the other team. So that hurt. And yeah, Arozarena hits a grand slam. So I'm like, all right, 5-4. I know Houston bullpen, pretty good. Oh, no, it wasn't pretty good. It was an absolute implosion in the ninth inning. They end up losing the game and in disgraceful fashion. And that's just the kind of beats that baseball can provide for you. You think you have it taken care of, and you don't. 5-0 lead in the eighth inning with 2 outs, and it's still not good enough. So you have these every night. You can pick them out. I mean, there's one every single night, whether it's an over, an under, a first inning, or the Nerfies and Yerfies, or the first 5 innings where you have, you know, a guy comes out and walks. You know, sometimes you have bad luck where you play the first 5 under, and there's 4 runs in the first inning, and then they don't score again. So you're like, geez, I would have been better playing the game under. But instead of the first 5. So baseball, agonizing. Do with it as you want. I like it. I do. You can still find good prices on things, and you can scout out, and you can find matchups and things that can be an advantage. And, you know, but you can't predict variables. That's what makes baseball such an interesting game, is there's more outcomes in baseball than any other game, and that shows every single night. So condolences on any bad beats you may have. Gambling concerns in the gaming community here continue to mount from the NCAA as an inquiry finds that athletes are being invited to parties. This is an interesting story. Athletes have been invited to parties where gambling is taking place. I presume illegal gambling, whether it's card games or whatever, dice, whatever. They're going to these parties that people are throwing near their campuses. They're attracting student athletes, college athletes, college professional athletes in playing professional sports for a college team. Let's go with that. They attract them to a party. They then gamble there where the players, athletes end up losing money, which is what gambling is. You're basically going to lose most of the time, especially in games of not chance when the deck's stacked against you. People, they're losing money, and then they're digging themselves into debt with these people, and then the people are asking them for favors on the field of play. So there wasn't a lot of information yet about this, it's confirmed, but several athletic directors have done investigations near their campuses of some of these mid-major schools and found this to be the case. So definite worry there, and the ears prick up when you hear something like this. So keep an eye on this one, but looking to get kids into financial distress so that they have to work it off by point shaving or fixing or whatever you want to call it. Not good there. North Carolina Senate budget proposal would increase taxes on sports betting from 18% to 36%. Wow. So that's 36 cents on every dollar in North Carolina will go to the state government. Right now it's 18. In West Virginia, we're lucky. It's only 10 here. So you're only getting 10 cents off your dollar. So your rates will stay fair here in West Virginia for the foreseeable future. Let's hope that is the case. NFL draft next week. Not a whole lot to talk about there. We'll see how things shake out. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about it on the Pine Room Watchdog Radio Show on Monday, Tuesday, or Friday of next week and see who the guys are thinking. We also had Kelsey Russo on the show to talk Cleveland Browns. So if you're a Browns fan, tune in this Tuesday. We'll have Kelsey this Tuesday and next Tuesday talking draft, pre-draft this week, and post-draft next week. So thanks to her for joining the other day on the show to recap the Browns offseason and how things have gone for them. Flipping it back over to the racing circuit now here on Bettor's Last Stand, show number 128, coming to you on the Watchdog Network from the Watchdog Pine Room Studios in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for another weekend of exciting sporting action in the wagering world. Well, IndyCar gave us a nice winner last week with Kyle Kirkwood. We got it home with him. We had Christian Lundgaard, who finished third. And I'm thinking, man, all right, we got some momentum going here in IndyCar. It's the second winner we've had this year. Maybe we take it into this week. Well, we don't have a race this week because it's Easter. So we take some time off there. We don't come back until, I believe it's that Children's Hospital's Birmingham race down in Alabama here coming up in early May. And then you have the Indy 500 at the tail end of May. So once again, IndyCar does themselves no favors. After they have exciting racing action, they end up giving us weeks and weeks and weeks of off time. So Stingray Raw with the top 10. Sam would be happy about that. But Kirkwood, Pelot, Lundgaard, Rosenquist, and Will Power, the top five at the Long Beach Street Course. And then it's the Food City 500. Recapping that one, Kyle Larson gets the job done. He had an incredible car. Reminded me of old Jeff Gordon days. 411 laps led of the 500. Very, very impressive for him. Ryan Blaney led 48, but he was no match. Ty Gibbs, good run for him. Chase Briscoe and Ryan Blaney all in the top five. Denny Hamlin finishes second. So Denny Hamlin with two straight wins and a second place for him. He is racing very well. William Byron, Ross Chastain, Chris Bell, AJ Allmendinger, and Austin Dillon rounding out the top 10 at Bristol in what was a very boring race. Very, very boring. Very little action and very, very boring. But one thing I guarantee you will not be boring in 2 weeks. We got no NASCAR this week because of the holiday. But we have Talladega coming up after that. So Talladega, always exciting. One way or another, there's going to be excitement there, whether it's just speed and passing or accidents at key portions of the race. So we'll have our picks for Talladega ready to go. But we will focus this week on the Saudi Grand Prix. But let's first recap the Bahrain Grand Prix, the Gulf Air Bahrain Grand Prix from last week in Bahrain. Oscar Piastri, who I've said a few times here, I think is starting to take the torch as the top McLaren driver. He leads 54 of the 57 laps. He beats out George Russell and Lando Norris, the two Brits on the podium as well. Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton in Ferrari's run 4-5. Max Verstappen, just a sixth place finish there for him. He did not lead a lap in this one. We did not cash any of our bets. We went with Max again. Probably should have went Piastri, but he was a really short price, so we weren't going to do that. Antonelli can't get it done for us for the first time this year. He finishes outside of the top 10. He had been a top 6 regular for us. And then the Aston Martins struggle again. Lance Stroll, awful. Fernando Alonso, also not very good. 60 seconds off the pace, and that is not pretty. But turning our focus to Saudi Arabia, we'll be at Jeddah this week. And Max Verstappen is the only racer to have won two times at Jeddah. So Does that mean he is a favorite in this race? Well, it doesn't on paper. As you can see, Max Verstappen is a $9 choice here at the Jeddah Corniche Circuit. Oscar Piastri, plus 140 favorite, followed by his teammate, Lando Norris, at plus 150, which I also saw Norris favored in some. So those two guys, the McLaren's going to be favored there, and the McLaren's picked to win this at minus 455 for them to be the constructor of record to win this race. I'm going to be focusing on Antonelli again. Andrea Kimi Antonelli, he's 52-1 to win the race. I don't think he can do that. Maybe it's time that we start looking at the Mercedes, though, to win the race. Could it be Antonelli? I don't know. I don't think it can be. But George Russell, I think, worth the peak here this week. He's been okay at this track, I think. I mean, I'm not going to say it's his best track by any means, but he's been around in the top five or six in each of his showings here. Fernando Alonso's had some good runs here, but I don't think he's got the car to do it anymore. And the Ferraris, they were just so-so. You had Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc run 6-7. And then the following year, you had the Ferraris finish, I believe, third and seventh. Yes, so not great success out of the Ferraris. I think a small lean, though, towards Mercedes to once again have a podium finish. And then maybe they get a dual podium this time. It's possible. But I do like George Russell a tad here, and I'll probably be using him at least to be on the podium. And then we're going to go with Max Verstappen at that kind of price. I mean, he won 2 weeks ago, or two races ago. Maybe, I don't know, was it 2 weeks? But I think he's going to be all right at this track, I think. But things could change. We'll see how they qualify. You never do know about these cars, how they'll run in qualification. And if there's a problem, you know, that they can't sort out, they got to go to the rear of the field. So things could change. But I'm going to lean Verstappen. Likely McLaren gets it done. So you can look at other markets. So one thing about this, when you say, oh, geez, McLaren, they win every week or whatever, even though they haven't, you can say, okay, let's do one where, okay, McLaren wins, and then you can start filling it in after that. McLaren car wins, George Russell to finish second. McLaren car wins, George Russell to finish second. Whoever. Let's say Lando Norris is third. So that would mean basically two on the podium for McLaren. But you could say, okay, McLaren wins the race, Max Verstappen is second, George Russell is third. You can find those groups. They're basically like boxed up trifectas in NASCAR. So, well, actually, it wouldn't be boxed, it'd be straight, but if you get what I mean. So you could look for those and try to find, you know, good plus prices with potential outcomes. So I think that makes a little bit of sense here if you're looking at a season where it's going to be dominated by McLaren, which I don't think it's domination level yet, but it's getting that they are the best right now. I think Piastri right now is the best car driver combo, but Verstappen can't be slept on. I'll be going with Max here. We're going to take a shot with him. He won here last time. His teammate Sergio Perez won 2 years ago with Verstappen finishing second. So we'll be on Max. We'll be on George Russell. We'll be on Antonelli down in Saudi Arabia at the Jeddah Corniche Circuit. But that's our only racing action this week. So we're no NASCAR. We're no IndyCar. But we do have F1, and that'll get the day started. And what'll get the day started even earlier than the F1 will be our friends in Australia. It's Australian rules football again. We were exceptional in that once more. 12-5 last week. We are 22-9 over the last 2 weeks in AFL. So back at it here for round number 6 here on Bettors Last Stand. Getting ready to take you through the Australian rules football card here on Bettors Last Stand. Show number 128 here on the Watchdog Network. Getting you ready for another exciting weekend of sporting action. And again, we appreciate all the feedback we get for the show, both here on Bettors Last Stand and on the radio show here on the Watchdog Network. So please don't hesitate. Shoot us emails. Shoot us messages on social media at the Pine Roof Studios, BLS_PRP. You can get a hold of us anytime. If there's anything you want to see us add, we'll be happy to do it. Anything you want us to discuss, we'll be happy to go in-depth, you know, within reason, obviously. If you want me to do an entire breakdown on cricket for a full show, I will try, but I can't tell you that my information is going to be that good, because that's one of the areas that I am not an expert in by any means. So we'll keep trying to sharpen the skills on that, though, when the time comes when the Ohio Valley is full of cricket fans, which might be a while. Australian rules football, the topic at hand right now, Collingwood and Brisbane. This is a Thursday match. This will be a underplay for me. Again, these matches, you may have missed these. So, or by the time this is out, the game may have already been played. So BLS underscore PRP on Twitter X is where you want to be for these. Collingwood and Brisbane, good matchup there. Two teams, Collingwood 4-1, Brisbane 5-0. 175.5 is the total. Brisbane minus 11.5. That's a lot of points. Collingwood's tough. They're playing pretty good right now with the Dykos brothers. Very good players. 175.5 will go under there. Carlton, North Melbourne, also a Thursday early morning tilt. And this one will be Carlton on the road, minus 15.5 at our North Melbourne Kangas. Last three over in this one. I'll go over again. I think there'll be points. Kangas can't seem to slow anybody down, and their offense isn't bad. So we'll go over 179.5 there. Friday, here we go, 4:10 a.m. First bounce on Friday. It's the Essendon Bombers at the West Coast Eagles, the worst team in AFL without question. West Coast catching 27.5 at home, the total 175.5. West Coast has given up 117 points per game. Essendon scores are just south of 90. I think that'll escalate a little bit here. Look for the Bombers to put up in the 130s or 140s and get this job done easily by 27.5 or more. I think they'll win by at least 50 or 60. You never know. It could even be a 100-point win if they really, really want it. West Coast will likely drop to 0-6. Fremantle 3-2 against 0-5, the Melbourne Demons. What in the world's going on with this team? This is one of our losers last week. I thought Melbourne would, you know, figure out a way here, but they did not. Melbourne catching 16.5 at home, the total 167.5. The Fremantle Dockers have won the last two against Melbourne, and the last three between these two have went over the total. We're going to go over the total at 167.5, but I got to take Melbourne here. I don't like Frio at all. I think they're just okay. They're 3-2. Something's got to give. Melbourne is really desperate right now, and they are at home, and they disappointed us last week. We'll go back to the well and see if they can cover 16.5, but they've got to break through here at some point. So we'll go Melbourne plus the 16.5 and over 167.5. GWS, Greater Western Sydney Giants, 4-1 on the road at the Adelaide Crows, who are 3-2. Adelaide, deceptive 3-2. Pretty good team. They are 2.5-point home favorite here. The last two between these two sides have stayed under the total. The home team has won 2 out of 3. That would be Adelaide here. And Adelaide's lost two tight games. They lost to Geelong and Gold Coast, two of the better teams right now in the league. I like this game under 186.5. It's a little high. I think this will be a closely played game. Adelaide's strong. GWS pretty strong. I'll take the Crows minus the 2.5 at home and under the 186.5. Saturday early morning, 5:35 a.m. bounce. It'll be the Richmond Tigers hosting the Gold Coast Suns. Gold Coast playing like I expected them to play the last 2 years. They're playing great. 4-0 against the Richmond Tigers, 1-4. Richmond did not come through for us last week. They did cover 2 weeks ago, though, against Brisbane. They'll be catching 46.5 at home, the total 184.5. Gold Coast comes in fresh off of a bye. The last three times that these two teams have played, there's been unders. I like under here quite a bit. Richmond, as I said, very, very, very pesky at home. They battle hard at home. I think that, although last week it didn't show, but I think against Gold Coast, this should be a decent matchup. So we're going to go with Richmond plus the 46.5, and we're going to go under the 184.5. I think Richmond will make this a little bit of a pain for Gold Coast, who will still win the game, but might be a tough one. Port Adelaide at Sydney. This is a 1:20 a.m. Saturday evening, early on Sunday. Bounce. It will be Port Adelaide on the road, catching 15.5 against the Swans. 173.5 is the total. The Port Adelaide Power off of a big win over Hawthorn, and they were exceptional in that game. Man, they were good. They were getting it going from all angles. Really, really impressive performances from Jason Horn Francis and Sam Powell Pepper, among others, for the Power. They were really, really good. And, yeah, can they keep it up? I don't know. I don't love Sydney. Two out of the last three between these two teams have been unders. I'm kind of leaning into the under here. They've lost. They lost to Collingwood. They lost out the Swans, which isn't a bad loss. I think this is a pretty evenly matched game. So I'm usually would play a team off of a big win in Port. So that worries me a touch. But 15 is a little too much. So I'm gonna take the points with Port and take the under 173.5. Sunday, first bounce on this one, 5:20 a.m. It'll be St. Kilda at Western. Western minus 10.5. Total 181.5. Some high totals this week. Road team has won the last two in this series. I got to tell you, St. Kilda's played very well. They've really, really impressed me over these weeks. Their offense, much, much better. Can they get their defense figured out? They're 3-2. Western's 2-3. Western really hasn't impressed me at all. They've been very poor, I think, and sloppy. Two out of three in this fixture have went under the total. I like the game over, though. I'm going against the trend here. I like the game over. St. Kilda is not the same St. Kilda that you know, provided those two out of three unders there. So I like points here, and I like St. Kilda catching 10.5. I don't think they're better than Western, but catching 10.5, I think they can stay within that. Hawthorne at Geelong, heavyweight clash here. Geelong 3-2, but a deceptive 3-2. They're very good. Hawthorne 4-1, but a bad loss last week. I can't say bad. Port's good. So, but they were really, really getting buried. They were down 70 at one point, then cut it all the way down to a two score. I think they meant to cut it. Well, they cut it to at least 18, and then they kind of fizzled out because I thought I had a couple of live bets on them, which they ended up getting inside the number, but the money line bet did not quite get there. Hawthorne minus a half or plus a half, depending on where you're at. This is a dead even game, a pick 'em. 174.5 the total. I think the game stays under here. Hawthorne has been dominated by Geelong. Geelong has just beat them up and down the last several tries, and I think they're going to come out on a mission here after a tough loss to Port and be ready to go, very focused in, and I think they slow this game down, play very, very disciplined, much better defensively than they did last week, and I think they keep it low scoring against the Cats. Can't really pick a side there. That's a really hard game to pick, but we shall see. Should be a good week in the AFL. Let's finish her up here with soccer. Jumping back to the Premier League, Newcastle United with an absolute thrashing of Crystal Palace midweek. We'll see what Crystal Palace can do. They will take on Bournemouth on Saturday morning. Palace plus 145, Bournemouth plus 180. Bournemouth snapped a five-game winless streak, I should say, just the other day. They have not played well, but, man, Palace got absolutely thumped. Last five between these two unders, so maybe an under there. Crystal Palace, though, will be the side that I go with. I'm going to go under three, and I'm going to go with Palace to bounce back after humiliation this past midweek against Newcastle. Brighton at Brentford. Brentford plus 140, favorite plus 175 on Brighton. Brighton really have not played well. Brentford hasn't been very good either. So I think you have a situation where you're kind of like, what's going to give here? Martinelli scores for Arsenal to finish off Real Madrid. So it'll be Real Madrid and Inter Milan advancing along with who won yesterday? Who did win yesterday? Barcelona, and there was another game that was a high-scoring game. Why am I forgetting who it was? Oh, boy. My brain is not what it once was, that is for sure. PSG. Sorry, there we go. Paris Saint-Germain. So we got Paris. We got France represented in there. We got Italy represented. We got England represented. And who was the... Oh, and we got Spain represented. So a wide range of teams here in the Champions League Final Four. Should make for some good action. But back to Brentford and Brighton. I like both teams to score here. Three out of four have stayed under. I'm not going to go that way. I think goals could be aplenty here at some point, but I don't love the over, so I'm going to stay with both teams to score, and I'm going to go with Brentford at home to get back on track. Manchester City at Everton. Everton, a plus 280 dog here. City minus 105 on the road. Everton have not beaten Manchester City since 2017. It's a long way to go. Everton, though, playing very, very disciplined. They played Wolves right to the end, got the goal they needed when they needed it. So very, very good job by David Moyes getting Everton reeled back in. I like under three here. City struggles to score. I think Everton keeps it close. Not sure they can win, but maybe a draw. Like the under three, though. Southampton at West Ham. West Ham minus 180. Oh, boy. How could they be minus 180 against anybody? Southampton plus 550. So I'm going to go with West Ham here against my better judgment. They are not very good. But Southampton is very bad. I think this is still an under game, so we'll go under three. In that one, Newcastle at Aston Villa. Newcastle rounding into form. They're playing very, very well right now. Aston Villa, tough bow out the Champions League, though. They were very, 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 very tough to get rid of yesterday, and a very valiant performance by Aston Villa. So I think they feel good about themselves. They're plus 135 favorite against Newcastle. That's going to be a great match. I'll go with both teams to score, and I'm going to go over. I think there could be some fireworks there as both teams looking to make a very late push as Villa out of the Champions League, and they will be focusing on Champions League spots, Newcastle as well, with that in their sights. Last six between these two have went over the total, so let's look for goals. Chelsea and Fulham, London Derby, I got nothing here. I can't pick a Chelsea game to save my life. I do not have the pulse on this team. And ironically, they're my favorite team and the team that I watch the most. And I cannot figure out what you're going to get from them from day to day. I would lean both teams to score here, but I have no real opinion because the other week I did that in the London Derby. It was 0-0. Wolves and Manchester United. It will be United minus 105. How are they favored? Plus 265 on Wolves. I think Wolves or draw is a very good bet here. Wolves been playing pretty well lately. Even though they lost last week, they still played very well. Winless in four are Manchester United. 9 out of 12 staying under between these two. I think it's another under here. Wolves have shown they can play some under. So we'll go with Wolves. I think they win this game probably like 2-0. Maybe a 1-1. But Wolves or draw will get you covered there. Arsenal at Ipswich Town. Arsenal marching on in the Champions League. They're not going to be concerned about Ipswich Town too much. 6 out of 7 between these two have stayed under, but I like the over. I think Arsenal comes back feeling good. Ipswich has proven they could score some goals at home, so we'll take the over. And you probably got to lay the handicap with Arsenal minus the 1.75 or 1.25. I think they're probably just going to be too good for Ipswich, although it could be a little bit of a letdown as they knock out the defending Champions League champions in Real Madrid here just momentarily, just a couple minutes ago. Liverpool at Leicester City. It'll be Liverpool minus 425 on the road. Leicester, the worst team in the league, plus 950, although I still think they might be better than Southampton. But for this example, it's not good for Leicester. It's going to be ugly. We're going to play Liverpool minus the handicap, 1.25, 1.75, 1.50. Whatever you want to do in the Asian markets, take it. Liverpool should roll. We'll go over the three here. Liverpool gets the late win last week with a late header by Virgil van Dijk getting them home. They got Mo Salah and van Dijk locked up now to on contracts, so they're going to feel good about that. So Liverpool rolls against Leicester in over three. And then Monday's game, Nottingham Forest at Spurs. Spurs plus 145, a small favorite against Forest, plus 160. Both these teams have not played very well lately. Nottingham Forest struggling to score. But I'm going to go over here. I'm thinking that both these teams could snap out of it here. I think this could be like a 2-2, something along those lines. Don't have a pick there. It would lean Forest, but don't feel great about it. So we'll go over the three there in London on Sunday. Or no, that's Monday. Monday Night Football in London. Let's see. Last week we talked about the Kentucky Derby. I don't have any more information than I had last week on maybe what the field's going to look like. So we'll kind of, if you want to go back and listen to last week's show, I don't have anything new to give you. I'm probably going to know a little bit more now that these horses have all rested and probably jogged in the mornings now, and you got some of the internationals getting ready to make their travel plans, and now we're going to really know who's here, who's coming, and who isn't, and then we can start to develop a pace scenario and things of that nature and then await the post-draw. So hopefully next week I'll have a little bit better of an idea of some of my top plays, but you know, it's still a touch early, but you can definitely start to figure out some of the horses that you're going to say are going to be uses and who won't be uses, because you can toss out, you know, horses of short price, horses of you know, big connections that you may not like, and horses that are set for like one turn mile type horses, things like that, sprinter types, who you would say probably aren't going to be able to run this type of distance. So you start to eliminate them. Sometimes it's a lot easier to go through and find horses that you don't like and cross them off than it is to find horses that you do like, because you start with your ones you don't like, and then it eliminates it and makes it a lot easier to choose. But I got my eye on, as I mentioned last week, Citizen Bull, Luxor Cafe, Sovereignty, Admire Daytona, and Publisher. Those were all horses that I am intrigued by. How they come across when I look through the PPs and watch the videos again and start to develop, okay, who's going to go, who isn't, who's riding these horses is important as well. So when all that starts coming together, we'll get you a better idea of who we like in the Kentucky Derby this year, coming up here in just a few weeks. So should be exciting time. We look forward to the horse racing part of the season. This is the Triple Crown run coming up here in a couple of weeks. So we have that to look forward to. We got plenty of other things going on. NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, if anybody can stomach that. But first and foremost, soccer and Australian rules football, of course, and baseball and full swing golf as well with a good RBC heritage. Anyway, enjoy your Easter weekend with your family and friends and all your fellow churchgoers, and enjoy it. have a relaxing weekend. Be safe out there. Hopefully you get some winners. And please tune back in here to the Watchdog Network for the next episode of Bettor's Last Stand, as well as the other wonderful shows here that you have on. You got the Slider and Stack Show, which is on several days a week now and on the new schedule here on the Watchdog. So be sure to check them out. They follow us actually a couple days during the week, and they also are in on the morning spot for Howard on Monday. So catch Bob and Shane. They do a great job. Really, really good stuff. And of course, Pine Room here on the Watchdog every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. And we'll have plenty of things to talk about with the NFL draft. And as I said, Kelsey Russo coming up and all kinds of other stuff going on in the world around us, whether it's news, whether it's sports. We'll have opinions on all of it. So tune in to the Watchdog Network. That's your spot for all the great local programming around the Ohio Valley area. So again, thanks for joining us today. BLS_PRP is where you want to follow. Get all the picks that are time sensitive at the Pine Room Studios on social media. We got Lunch Madness going on. We'll have more Lunch Madness winners this week and next week as that tournament rages on. You can vote at the Pine Room Studios on Instagram. Watchdog Network WV on social media. Follow that at the Pine Room Studios on YouTube. PineRoomStudios.com for all of our shows and replays. And that's pretty much it for us here on Bettor's Last Stand. Hope you have a safe and wonderful Easter, and we will see you next week here on Bettor's Last Stand. You're listening to The Watchdog. Have a great weekend.